Inns in the vicinity of Stampede Park. The Deerfoot Inn was located on the south side of the city and had become a favorite of the rodeo participants, especially at the discounted rate of $100 per night. Riley and Cooper rolled back the tarp covering the pickup bed of Major's truck to retrieve their luggage. They set the bags on the pavement next to a similar rig to theirs. The rear parking lot of the Deerfoot Inn resembled overnight parking at an interstate truck stop. Instead of tractor-trailer rigs lined up side by side with sleeping drivers inside, the hotel's parking lot was lined with dual-axle pickups called dualies and horse trailers. "Should we even unpack the sponsor gear?" asked Riley. "We'll just have to load it up again in the morning for the meet-and-greet booths." "No, I agree," replied Cooper. "If we were in the States, we'd at least take in the Remington rifles, but these Canadians are practically communists with their zero-tolerance policy. I mean, how many times did that Canadian Mountie ask us if we had any weapons in our possession?" "Yeah, I call that profiling, don't you? Just 'cause we're dressed like cowboys and are pulling a horse trailer doesn't mean we're toting six-shooters and old-school lever rifles." Cooper pointed toward a duffel bag. "Can you reach that?" Riley stretched and grabbed the handles. "Got it." The guys began to close up the back of the pickup, and the conversation continued. Cooper recalled an event that took place in the province of Alberta several years back. "They all overreacted to that shooting in Edmonton years ago. They started outlawing all kinds of guns except what was considered a hunting weapon, like what we push for Remington. Maybe they should have focused on the Somalia dude who shot up that football stadium. He was the guy pulling the trigger." "Folks don't look at it that way," added Riley. "Say, do you think they'll let us each keep a rifle tomorrow? I want one of those new R-25s, in camo. What do you think?" "Not gonna happen, brother. The Canadians see those as assault weapons. They've got a new pump action in 308. It's the model 7800, I think. Get one of those. Our rep has always been generous." "Do we need a permit?" asked Riley. "Nope, not for hunting weapons. Only handguns." The guys tied down the tarp and loaded up their gear and started toward the hotel's entrance. Palmer came jogging toward them, her ponytail swishing back and forth from under her real tree cap. "Y'all will never guess who I saw in the lobby," she said, slightly out of breath. "Who?" asked Riley. "Those two jerks from the bar in Fort Worth," she replied. "They were sitting at the lobby bar, drinking and checking out girls. You know, what they think they do best." "Did they recognize you?" asked Cooper. "No, you know how it is. When you see someone in a different setting, it doesn't register that you know them. Now, if Riley were to go in there and pounce on the one guy, I'm pretty sure it will all come back to them." Riley started laughing, handed Palmer her duffel bag, and began walking briskly toward the entrance of the hotel. "Hold up! Nobody's going to pounce on anybody!" Cooper shouted to his brother. Riley frowned but slowed his pace. Cooper turned to his sister. "Did you get us rooms on the side of the hotel overlooking the parking lot?" "Yeah," she replied, showing two electronic room cards for the second floor. "Good," said Cooper, as he directed them toward the casino entrance. "Come on, Riley, we'll hit the casino elevators to our room. You don't need to be starting up with those guys. This weekend is strictly business." "Can we play a little before we go up?" asked Riley. Cooper shook his head and laughed. He grabbed his brother and pinched the back of his neck, leading him toward the door. "You want to drive me nuts, don't you? It's my job and duty as a little brother." "Great." Chapter 60. November 25th, Black Friday, the Calgary Stampede, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Cooper, Riley, and Palmer made the rounds to their sponsors' booths before they arrived at the final stop of the fan meet-and-greets at the Pro Rodeo magazine interview stage. At Cabela's, they met the Muckety Mucks from Bass Pro Shops, who had acquired the outdoor retailer years before. They were very impressed with the Armstrong trio, and promised to include them in future rodeo promotions. At the Realtree booth, they signed autographs and stood for numerous pictures with fans. Palmer ribbed both guys afterwards for the attention they received from the Buckle Bunnies, a term bestowed upon cute single girls who try to attract the attention of the rodeo competitors. Finally, all three enjoyed their time at the Remington booth, especially when they were rewarded with their rifle of choice. Naturally, they'd have to participate in additional meet-and-greet events over the weekend, in which they'd be required to pose with their gun of choice, but it was worth the effort for the media exposure and three brand new rifles. Along the way, they caught up with their friends from the bar brawl, Adriano Morales and Eduardo Pacheco. They had just been interviewed by Pro Rodeo magazine, and now it was Cooper's turn. Morales and Pacheco waited with Riley and Palmer while Cooper took a few questions. He climbed on stage and got settled on a bar stool in front of a microphone to address a gathering crowd. After the chants of "Coop, Coop, Coop" died down, the journalists and Cooper made some small talk, and then got into the meat of the interview. "Coop, you seem to be fully recovered from your injury a month ago. How are you feeling?" "I gotta tell y'all, that bull kicks hard," replied Cooper with a laugh, and to the delight of his fans. "My brother tells me there ain't nothing to kick between my ears, but you know, he's one to talk." Everyone laughed as Cooper pointed toward Riley, who was getting a razzing from Palmer. "I take it, obviously, that you're going to be good to go this evening." "You betcha," said Cooper, to the delight of the crowd. Cooper noticed a couple of cute girls inching their way close to the stage. One in particular caught his eye. She was different from the others. This girl was less buckle bunny and more girl next door. He'd make a point to find her after the interview. "Coop, you've really made a name for yourself, and with a good ride tonight you'll qualify for the PBR finals in Vegas. Is this a dream come true for you?" Cooper laughed and winked at the cute girl who'd pushed her way near Palmer and the boys. "After all these years competing, I still haven't figured out why any bull rider, including myself, gets on a bull. You never really figure it out. We aren't insane, I don't reckon. We just kind of grew up with that desire to conquer that massive animal for 8 seconds. So you're born with it?" "I guess you could say that. It's in your blood, almost like the worst drug in the world. Very addictive." The journalist nodded, checked his notes, and continued. "I've asked several of your fellow competitors this question, and most have answered the question the same way. But I'd like your take on it. Which sport is the most dangerous?" "Heck, it's not even close. A 180-pound guy against an 1,800-pound bull. You do the math." "Coop, do you think money drives bull riding?" "No, sir, absolutely not. It's like I said before. It's in your blood. There ain't enough money in it." Cooper paused for a moment, and then he looked down at Pacheco and Morales. He gestured in their direction. "These fellas know what I'm talking about. It's that feeling of being unbreakable. You want to be one of the toughest cowboys in the world against the toughest bulls. That's why we're all here." "All right, Coop, final question. You just mentioned riding the toughest bulls. Last go around, you drew One Night Stand. He's in Calgary, too. In fact, I understand he's been asking about you." Cooper and the rest of the crowd began to laugh. "Yeah, I'm sure he has been. Well, let him know I'm going to pull his name out of the hat on purpose. Tonight, it's going to be lights out on this one-night stand." Chapter 61. November 25th, Black Friday, the Calgary Stampede, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Cooper couldn't have written the script any better. He shook his brother's hand and high-fived Palmer. He glanced into the stands over Riley's shoulder and winked again to his new friend, whose name and cell phone number was written on the back of a Canadian $5 bill, then tucked into his jeans pocket. He nodded at the cowboys, and they readied his nemesis, One Night Stand. As Cooper approached the rails to climb over, the massive bull turned his head in Cooper's direction. His nostrils flared, and then he let out a snort. Cooper stared his ride back in the eyes, unafraid and almost challenging the massive beast. Bulls, like cows, were not known to have any type of intellect. They were animals that reacted on instinct, which is why a bull stops attempting to buck the rider once he's been thrown. Or at least most of the time, as Cooper and One Night Stand both knew from personal experience. One Night Stand snorted again, nodded upward, and then faced forward. The high-spirited animal was ready, and so was Cooper. He adjusted his hat, gave one final nod to the cowboys manning the gate, and climbed over the rails. "I know you now," whispered Coop, as he threw his leg over One Night Stand and grabbed the rope. He worked to get his hands set, nice and snug. The routine was one he'd followed hundreds of times before. For his part, One Night Stand followed his routine as well. Just like their last ride together, the bull slowly dropped down to his belly. Cooper tensed his body and got ready. One Night Stand began to rise from the dirt, his muscles contracting, coiling up with power. "Here we go, boys, here we go," Cooper shouted as the fans roared their approval. One Night Stand barely waited for the gate to open, crashing forward and jumping into the air. Cooper had replayed the previous failed ride through his head a million times. "Not this time, buddy." The bull twisted his body in midair before landing on his front legs. Cooper pushed against his rope this time, avoiding the costly mistake of moving too far forward on the bull's neck. Like before, One Night Stand turned to the left, and Cooper handled the twist. He never lost his balance, as One Night Stand gave it all he had. "I know you." The bull was furious, just as angry at himself as he was at the cowboy who dared tame him. Jumping, spinning, twisting, and bucking, One Night Stand was on a tear, but Cooper remained undeterred. This was his turn to be in the limelight, as the first bull rider to master this 2,000-pound beast for 8 seconds. The fans in the arena were screaming his name. The cheers were overwhelming. One Night Stand was mad as the devil. Then the buzzer sounded. 8 seconds! I did it! And then the lights went out.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Axis of Evil. Written by Bobby Achart. Performed by Sean Runette. Executive producers Anthony Roberts and Mike Charzik. Producer Neil Basic. Copyright 2018 by Bobby Achart Inc. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.